Welcome to On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of On This Day in Tudor History. Now, today I'm taking back to the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. For On This Day in Tudor History, the 20th of September 1586, Anthony Babington, John Ballard, John Savage, Chidiock Titchborne, and three other conspirators were executed near St. Giles in the Fields in London. They were hanged, drawn, and quartered for plotting to assassinate Queen Elizabeth I in the famous Babington plot in support of Mary, Queen of Scots. A further seven were executed the following day. But what was the Babington plot? The man who gave his name to the plot was Anthony Babington, a Derbyshireman who'd been brought up as a Catholic. As a boy, he served as a page in the household of the Earl of Shrewsbury, who was acting as jailer to Mary, Queen of Scots at the time. And Babington appears to have become devoted to the Scottish Queen from that point. In 1580, while in Paris, he met Mary's ambassador to France, James Beaton, Archbishop of Glasgow, and also Thomas Morgan, who acted as a confidant and spy for Mary. On his return to England a few years later, Babington carried letters from Morgan to Mary. In May 1586, 25-year-old Babington received a visit from Catholic priest John Ballard, who'd met with the Spanish ambassador Bernardino de Mendoza in Paris and was able to tell Babington that the Pope had appointed the Catholic Dukes of Guise and Mayenne to lead an invasion of England to depose Queen Elizabeth I. When Babington pointed out that the Dukes were unlikely to be successful, Ballard told him that a man named John Savage would assassinate the Queen. Savage was put in touch with Babington, who was able to rally fellow Catholic young men to the cause, including Thomas Salisbury, Chidiock Titchborne, Edward Abington, Charles Tilney, Edward Windsor, Robert Barnwell, Edward Jones, Henry Dunn, Jerome Bellamy, Robert Gage, John Travers, John Charnock, and Gilbert Gifford. The conspirators met to discuss the plot on the 7th of June 1586, and on the 6th of July, Babington wrote to Mary, Queen of Scots, in code, telling her that he, with 10 gentlemen and 100 followers, would release her from her prison and dispatch the usurper, that is to say, Elizabeth. He wrote that six men, his private friends, would be in charge of that tragical execution. Mary replied on the 17th of July, including the phrase, "Set the six gentlemen to work," thus giving her support to Elizabeth's assassination. Of course, she didn't know that her letters were being intercepted and the codes broken by Elizabeth I's spymaster, Sir Francis Walsingham, and his agents. And Babington was unaware that a man he'd confided in, named Robert Polley or Polly, was in fact one of Walsingham's agents, as was Gilbert Gifford, who received the letters and passed them on to Thomas Phillips, Walsingham's codebreaker. Copies of the letters were made before they were passed on. On the 4th of August 1586, Babington was arrested. He'd fled and hidden at the family home of Jerome Bellamy when realising he was dining with one of Walsingham's agents, who had orders to arrest him. But he was soon apprehended, and the City of London celebrated the uncovering of the plot against their Queen with the ringing of bells, the burning of bonfires, and the singing of psalms. Babington and his fellow conspirators were interrogated, and all of them confessed. It's thought that John Ballard was tortured for information. Babington, Ballard, Titchborne, Salisbury, Dunn, Barnwell and Savage were the first group tried and were arraigned on the 13th and 14th of September, with the remaining seven, Abington, Tilney, Bellamy, Charnock, Jones, Gage and Travers, being tried on the 15th. All of the men were found guilty of high treason. And on this day in history, the 20th of September 1586, Babington and six of his fellow conspirators were executed near St. Giles in the Fields, near where their plotting had taken place. They suffered full traitors' deaths. They were hanged, drawn, and quartered. William Camden recorded their executions in his Annals of Elizabeth I's Reign, writing, "The 20th of the same month, a gallows and a scaffold being set up for the purpose in St. Giles, his fields, where they were wont to meet. The first seven were hanged thereon, cut down, their privities cut off, bowled alive and seeing, and quartered, not without some note of cruelty. Ballard, the arch plotter of this treason, craved pardon of God and of the Queen, with a condition if he had sinned against her. Babington, who undauntedly beheld Ballard's execution, while the rest turning away their faces fell to prayers upon their knees, ingenuously acknowledged his offences. Being taken down from the gallows and ready to be cut up, he cried aloud in Latin sundry times, Pace mihi domine Jesu, that is, spare me, Lord Jesus. Savage broke the rope and fell down from the gallows and was presently seized on by the executioner, his privities cut off, and he bowled alive. Barnwell extenuated his crime under colour of religion and conscience. Tichborne, with all humility, acknowledged his fault and moved great pity among the multitude towards him, as in like manner did Tilney, a man of a modest spirit and goodly personage. Abington, being a man of a turbulent spirit, cast forth threats and terrors of blood to be spilt ere long in England. The next day, the other seven were drawn to the same place and suffered the same kind of death, but more favourably by the Queen's commandment, who detested the former cruelty, for they all hung till they were quite dead before they were cut down and bowled. Salisbury was the first, who, being very penitent, warned the Catholics not to attempt to restore religion by force and arms. In like manner did Dunn, who followed him. Jones protested that he had dissuaded Salisbury from the attempt and had utterly condemned Babington's proud and headstrong mind and the purpose of invasion. Charnock and Travers, having their minds wholly fixed on prayer, commended themselves to God and the saints. Gage, extolling the Queen's great bounty to his father, detested his own perfidious ingratitude towards his princess, to whom he was so deeply bound. Jerome Bellamy, who had hidden Babington after he was openly proclaimed traitor, whose brother, being guilty of the same crime, strangled himself in prison, with confusion and silence, closed up the number. Of course, it was this plot, the Babington plot, that was Mary, Queen of Scots's undoing, for Walsingham now had proof that she was plotting against Elizabeth I. Mary was tried in October 1586 and convicted of treason. She was executed on the 8th of February 1587. Also on this day in Tudor history, the 20th of September 1486, Arthur Tudor, Prince of Wales, the first son of Henry VII and Elizabeth of York, was born at Winchester. There were high hopes for this boy, named after the legendary King Arthur, and King Henry VII believed that his son would be a powerful king who would bring a golden age to the country. Of course, things wouldn't go according to plan. You can find out more about Arthur, who was, of course, Catherine of Aragon's first husband, in last year's video. You'll find a link in the description. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.